Welcome back to the second segment on the front porch this afternoon. Continue our discussion with Jess Ebert from Tescott, Kansas. Talked a little bit about that first job out of college with the water office out of Stockton. What came next?
I transferred to the Topeka field office and worked on surface water rights in the state of Kansas and did that for a few more years. And that's after I'd met Levi, my husband now, and we were ready to start the adventure of wanting to be a rancher. And so we purchased our first property back in Ottawa County, back from where I'm from. And I became a loan officer lender for First Bank Kansas in Salina, Kansas. And I did that for a few years in the banking world, and it was fun. And then I kind of transferred on then to financial planning, estate planning kind of job. I was a marketing director for a financial firm there in Salina. And did that for a few years, and then now I'm doing what I do now with CAF News and KFRM.
Well, you've kind of made the rounds then. You made it from Stockton to Topeka to Salina back home. Obviously, each of those stops, had a purpose in developing who you are and what you've become. But no older than you are, you've been around the horn a time or two and had some experiences. So. Let's talk a little bit about once you guys started, decided that, hey, what made that decision for you, or how did you and Levi come up with the decision that, hey, we're gonna try and make a go of our own on the operation?
He was in a corporate job working for Gen X and kind of traveling a couple different states, and had been in the industry, again, growing up in it his whole life, and me as well. But, you know, we always admired raising our own family someday out, I guess, in the sticks, as some people call it, but in rural America, and having a smaller school, and not that where we were living was that big, but we wanted to ranch right along like the rest of my family and his family was. So we just decided one day that we'll go to a banker and see if we could bite off our first piece of ground and first chunk of cows, and they gave us the money, I guess.
Right, wrong, or indifferent, they believed what you had to say.
So we just started small, as everybody has to. We didn't have a lot to start with. We started from scratch. We worked along with FSA, First Time Farmers Loans, and still utilize them today on a little aspect. Interest rates are low, zero down payment, and highly recommended if you have a will and a way. They will help you get into ag. So we did that, and then we've just gradually continued to grow from there. We've got a pretty decent operation now, working alongside with my family back home at Tescott with my mom and dad and my brother. And we've done things differently, I guess, more progressively, as most people would say we are. We started putting embryos in our cows so we would make a premium, so we could pay things off a little bit faster. And since then, we've added goats, and we farm as well, and we do no-till and try to minimize as much feeding as possible. So we graze the land as well as our crop ground, as well as rotating pastures to keep things a little bit more sustainable for the next generation.
I suspect that having the background that you did in loan and banking business, that you probably had an idea of what they were going to expect out of you as first timers coming in, and kind of had your I's dotted and your T's crossed when you made that first opportunity to try and get that done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And work, I mean, we still worked off the farm. We still work off the farm now, even though, you know, we necessarily don't have to. We would change our lifestyle a little bit more. But we both enjoy working a lot, I guess. You know, we have several different businesses. But having that extra income, too, to kind of offset a drought year of having to downsize on our cattle or maybe have to put a well in, you know, kind of helps with those expenses as well, that the cow herd didn't necessarily have to cash flow to pay the land back 100%.
So you talked a couple of things. Let's talk first. You referenced an embryo program. I take it that, I think at least, that you're a cooperator herd with a purebred outfit?
Yes, we are, for two different purebred operations.
Talk a little about how that works.
Okay. So our cows are essentially just recip cows. We sync them up for them to put their cow's genetics and their sire's genetics into our cows. So we're for Kevin Jensen and Willie Ottenberg out of Colorado are the two purebred ranchers that our cows are recip cows for.
And you have a cooperative agreement then that your return is going to be for those calves come fall, I assume.
Yep, we have an agreement. It's all in writing. We have to live up to their standards of weaning and vaccination protocols, healthy cattle, all the way through to when they pick them up to go back to their operation, whether to put the females back on their own herd or they sell the females and sell the bulls in their production sales.
Obviously, that does a couple of things. One, with a program like that, you don't have to keep as many bulls around for anything that doesn't settle, I assume.
Right. Whatever doesn't get an embryo puts in, and we only put embryos in 3-year-olds to about 7 to 8-year-olds, if not a little bit older. All of our first and second calf heifers, we AI ourselves. They don't tend to take an embryo as well, so we AI them. But it's cut down on bull expense, and especially in the last few years with the bull markets as high as they've been, it's helped us there too with our cash flow.
And then on the embryo side, if something doesn't take that first round, I assume they go with cleanup bulls then after that?
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah. So it obviously you don't want to get too far out. I mean, if I expect that you and Levi probably do a pretty good job on herd health because there's more money to make if they settle with that embryo when you put it in, first of all. Second of all, if she cycles 2 or 3 times before you get her bred, that's days lost in the calving season or extends it as well.
Right. We like our calves to be grouped up, our cows to be grouped up pretty fast. So we have them ultrasound in August to know what's first cycle, second cycle, and third cycle. And eventually I would like to get where, all right, if you're not in first and second cycle, you're going to town or to somebody else's operation because it drags things out a little bit more. I like to sell things evenly on a consistent basis with our rep that we, when we sell our cleanup calves, obviously the embryos all go back to those guys, but we like them to be all at the same time. Some people might get a little nervous when you're having 15 to 20 calves a day, but especially if it's not a good day of weather, but it helps when you're marketing your animals on the end.
That was going to be my next question is, obviously when you're putting those eggs in, you don't exactly know what the weather is going to be when the time comes, but on an operation like that, I suspect you're putting in a significant number at a shot. That means they're all coming the same day, more or less.
Yes, yes. Our due date this year was February 3rd. We started January 21st, and I left for Houston for National Cattlemen's Beef Association on the 31st, and we had 55 on the ground already. So
I'm sure your husband was extremely pleased that you left for a week.
Yeah.
Or not so much. Maybe.
Not so much.
What kind of, knowing that, any specialized facilities that you guys have or are just means and ways to deal with? Obviously, they don't all go perfectly, and you're going to have to get a cow or two in every year, I'm sure.
Yes. So we don't bring our cows home off of stocks, whether it be Milo stocks or cover crop, until 2 weeks before they are ready to be born. So we had first cycle home, but we were getting ready to move second cycle home. But they come home, and they'll be on wheat and then some grass, and we try to have the grass stockpiled. We don't summer on that grass at all, so it's at least hopefully waist high to if not shoulder high grass that they can go bury themselves into to have a calf. And we have straw stockpiled up that if it, like last February, is an Arctic blast, that we have plenty of straw that we could straw down every other day. And we do have barns where we can get them in immediately out of the elements and keep them in there until things are better. We have a hot box that we can keep calves in there, and then just make sure your vaccination program is up to snuff before you go into that many and you have a good relationship with your veterinarian.
I suspect. Well, and knowing that, not that they all aren't important, but when it's an embryo or somebody else is entrusting the future of their operation and your work and what you do. Obviously, you have to have a pretty good relationship with those folks and prove yourself that that you're capable of doing that. But that's only one part of it. You kind of referenced that Levi had been part of a commercial organization. He's not involved with that anymore, but you guys still have your own operation as far as servicing cows for folks as well, I understand.
Yes. So when he was deciding to kind of branch out and do another level of a career job change, we loved working with our customers of the artificial insemination, and so we had a custom AI barn built, and then we still go out and service. We now just work for the customer, and so if he wants to put in whatever semen, his own semen, we go and just service him, and we're not necessarily working for a corporate operation. We're working for the farmer and providing that service to him.
We'll be back with the next segment on the Front Porch after this.